The Rebbe has been very strongly advocating for Jews owning the land of Israel. Whenever there was a question why we cannot give away any territories to the Arabs, the Rebbe was very strongly insisting that we have to make sure to keep all the lands and Israel has the right to exist. The Rebbe was very strongly pushing the idea that we need to make sure that the borders of Israel will be integral, will be as they are now, not giving away any territories. And the Rebbe was citing two different reasons. One, the Rebbe was saying that this is because of simply safety for Israel, that we are not allowed to give away any land because if we will give away some part of Israel, that compromises our ability to defend ourselves. That's number one. Number two, the Rebbe was bringing a religious reason. The Rebbe was explaining that the Torah is prohibiting a Jew to give any piece of land of Israel to non-Jew. According to the Torah does not believe in fair housing whenever it comes to Jewish ownership of land of Israel. A Jew is not allowed to sell any part of the land of Israel to non-Jew. In the historical land of Israel, Jews are supposed to keep the land. Okay? Whenever people were coming to the Rebbe asking why is it that Jews are supposed to own the entirety of land of Israel, they would cite two reasons. Number one, security, that if we will be giving away some parts of land of Israel, we'll compromise our security. Number two, that the Torah is not allowing us to give away land to non-Jews. It's considered to be a Jewish land, and Jews are supposed to own it. These are two reasons, which both seem to me pretty reasonable to say whenever people ask you questions about it. But what is surprising is which reasons the Rebbe gave to who, and which reason the Rebbe told us to use in which situations. When we speak to other Jews, when speaking to Jewish leaders, when writing articles in Jewish newspapers, when speaking personally to other Jews, the Rebbe would always say that we need to keep all parts of land of Israel for our security. When speaking to non-Jews, when saying what we should tell to politicians representing other states, other countries, what we should say in the UN, there we should say that we cannot give any parts of land of Israel because God told us we cannot. It seems to be the other way around. Non-Jews don't believe in your Torah. Using argument of your Torah talking to non-Jews seems pointless. Jews, on the other hand, believe in your Torah. To Jews, you could say that you should not give away land because the Torah tells us not to. On the other hand, security is something that everybody understands. So when we say why we should not give away land, why we should keep the entirety of land of Israel to non-Jews, tell them it's because of our security. Seems rational the other way around, not the way the Rebbe said. But there's a very important reason why the Rebbe said what he said to who he said. Whenever we speak to a person, we have to understand where is his question coming from and why he is asking this. Jews, when you speak to other Jews, thank God, most of the time, and by the way, now after October 7th, we see that Jews, no matter who they are, care about other Jews and care about safety of other Jews. This is a very important principle which is somewhere deep in us. So when I talk to another Jew, I need to tell him that we cannot give any part of Israel because of safety and security of other Jews. That's important. What about non-Jews? I've got news for you. After the whole history of world anti-Semitism, after Holocaust and pogroms of Bogdan Khmelnytsky, and after what's going on all over the world today, it's a little bit hard to assume that an average non-Jew out there is concerned about safety of Jews. When you will be talking to them and you will say, well, this is for our safety, what are they going to say? Either they will say, yeah, I understand, or they will say, who cares? So there is one very important principle that we always know. People are willing to argue with you about the points that you are willing to argue. If you will come to Nanju and you will tell them, we cannot give away any part of land of Israel because God told us so. I'm sorry. It's not negotiable. It's not rational. I cannot explain it to you. I cannot explain to you because every argument, whenever you discuss anything with people, every argument creates counter-argument. There's no argument that does not create counter-argument. The best answer eliminates only 75% of a question. Especially if we know that we are speaking to non-Jews and look at anti-Semitism all over the world, majority of them don't care about the safety of Jews. So when you're going to be explaining rationally to them what we need for our safety, either they'll get it or they won't get it, or maybe because you'll say that that this and this move compromises our safety, they'll say, good, let's get them to do that. You come to non-Jews and you say, sorry, this is our religious dogma. We don't negotiate it. We cannot argue about it. It's the example can be brought is if somebody comes to you, you're running a jewelry store. Somebody comes to you and says, give me this diamond for free. If you'll kick him out of a store, he'll never come back again. What if somebody comes to you and says, give me this diamond for free, and you'll tell him, well, I cannot give it to you for free, but maybe if you will smile nicely and you will do this and this, then maybe I'll give it to you for free. He will start arguing back and forth with you. The very fact that we are ready to discuss something opens a door for an opportunity for our enemies. This is why during the times of Yitzhak Shamir, the Rebbe was very upset that the Israeli government agreed to discuss with Arabs giving them land. What was happening? The American government was pushing Israel to give away lands to the Arabs. And Yitzhak Shamir said, listen, we're going to be politicians. We'll never give away land to the Arabs. But because they're asking us to sit down and have a conversation about it, it doesn't hurt to have a conversation, but we'll never give away land. The Rebbe was very upset. Why? Because the Rebbe said, the very fact that you are showing your readiness to discuss it hurts us. And this is why precisely the Rebbe, when the Rebbe was speaking to non-Jews, the Rebbe was saying, sorry, it is our religious dogma. We cannot give away land because God told us we cannot. Sorry. Goodbye. We speak to non-Jews. Now, there is a logical explanation why. And you can give the logical explanation to people who care about this logical explanation. So now, why am I bringing all this up now? Because this week's Torah portion has an interesting incident. We know that there was a Jew, a head of a tribe, head of tribe of Shimon. He decided to marry a non-Jewish woman, and he publicly started displaying his affection and intend to marry to this Midianite woman. And then, just to make a point, he comes over to Moshe and he says, am I allowed to marry this Midianite woman? Moshe says, no. He says, huh, who did you marry? You married Zipporah. Zipporah is also, she was not Jewish. So Moshe did not answer. All the commentators explain, obviously, what do you mean Zipporah was not Jewish? Zipporah was not born Jewish, but so were the Jewish nation, as we know it today, appeared only when the Torah was given. At the moment when the Torah was given, all the Jews became converts. They started being Jewish. Before the moment of giving the Torah, Jewish nation didn't exist. There were only people, individuals in Jewish family, and if they wanted, they could do mitzvahs. If they didn't want, they didn't. It was like a bonus for them. But the status of a Jew, part of a Jewish nation, such a term appeared only after the Torah was given. And who became a Jew? What's the definition of a Jew? Someone who stood at Mount Sinai, or today somebody whose ancestry stood at Mount Sinai. So the concept of a Jew appeared only then. Whoever stood at Mount Sinai became a Jew. So Zipporah became Jewish. So it is obvious that Moses was allowed to marry Zipporah because she was a convert. So even if it's such a simple explanation, why didn't Moshe give this explanation when he was asked? There is an answer. Why didn't he give an answer? If somebody is asking a question because they want to find out, you need to give them an answer. If somebody is asking you a question to prove you wrong, then the rule is, like you said, don't engage. Whenever people ask me questions like this very often, I tell them, whenever I talk to someone, I want to make sure that people who are part of my conversation are going to be happy. If they're asking me a question hoping that I will answer the question, I will answer it. If they are asking me a question hoping that I won't answer the question, I won't answer it. I want them to be happy. I want to meet their expectations. So Moshe did exactly that. Moshe taught us a very important lesson. If he would have given every logical and historical answer why he was allowed to marry Zipporah, I can promise you it would not stop this guy from marrying this woman. Because back then there was no such a thing as marrying a Jew, because Jewish nation didn't exist yet. Back then, before the Torah was given, whoever followed Judaism was Jewish. Whoever did not follow Judaism was not Jewish. There was Jewish religion. There was no Jewish nation.